This is a Dece World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I feel like only felons and Eskimos and narwhals live in Alaska.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dece World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, we bring you the first half of the Happy to Be Here podcast as Dece sits down with Exact Change and Matisse. And now your host. He just did his State of the Union address, and he still hates Mexicans too. Dece Casillas.
Malib Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dece. Thanks for coming around for another episode. We appreciate your patience with us these last few weeks. It's been a little hectic, I know. Schedule up and down. You haven't been getting your little dose of Dece and the crew. But we appreciate you listening, coming back, hanging in there. We're going to be back on track here. I mean, as much as my life can be on track. We had a lot going on. As people heard, probably we had a loss in the local comedy community, friend of ours, Tony Russell. So that, you know, kind of derailed us a bit, guys. And it's been difficult to difficult to talk about. But we are moving forward. We had a good event last a couple weeks ago, I guess, now that you're hearing this, memorial show at the Comedy Club. Dan Cummins was nice enough to come out and do a set. Everyone kind of just said a little piece about Tony. It was really, really nice. We had 350 people about at the club. And man, just it was really impressive to see everyone come together and how many people Tony touched. So I'm going to miss my best friend, guys. But it was nice to see, you know, you get a little perspective. All right, enough. You know what? That's not what you're here for. Enough of that. Guys, let's not talk about serious stuff. Let's talk about things like Ukraine and the issues over... No, I'm kidding. What we're going to talk about, guys, is today's show. Today's show, we are going to bring you half of the episode from the podcast Happy to Be Here with Exact Change and Matisse. Two local entrepreneurs. They're not even local. They just live here in Spokane, but they're fucking, these guys are global, man. They're killing it. They're worldwide. Music artists, they've been on the show before. They've been guest judges at the Drink and Debate. They do music. They do this great podcast. And it was a fun time. I got to be on the show. So we're going to bring you the first half of this show, audio only. But you can go to Algorithm Northwest and check out the whole show with video, everything. They have it on YouTube. So definitely check it out. I'll put a link in the comments here. But go watch the whole thing, man. Give them a like. Give them a follow. It's a really cool show. I like what they're doing, man. I got to tell you, I appreciate anyone who can. And we just chopped up for 2 hours, and it was great. It was great. You know, unstructured, just people hanging out. And I mean, unstructured, I mean that as a compliment, man. There's no, like, we got to hit this time frame. We got to hit this marker. And at this time, we do this segment, blah, blah, blah. So it was good. I like it. We had a lot of fun. I want to get them back on this show. You know, just keep it going, man. So definitely check them out. But we're going to give you the first half of that show. Then you can just a little teaser, get your beak wet and taste it, then go watch the whole thing in our conversation. We talk about a lot of crazy stuff. It was fun, man. So as for me, I'm going to get out of here. But guys, for me, check out this next week, Michael Glatzmeyer and I, Nearly Famous Comedy, back together. We're doing a couple events, so come check us out. We'll be at Shooters in Lewiston, Idaho, on the 14th. We will be at Spokane Comedy Club on the 16th. We're doing a couple other private events that you can't fucking come to. So, too bad. But we love you anyway, guys. And let's see. That's it. I'm going to get out of here. Just take a listen to this episode and go check out the full episode on Algorithm Northwest. Again, link in the comments. Follow them. Subscribe. They do a really fun podcast. So, all right, guys. I'm Deist, and I will check you soon.
See, my setup when I first started is janky as hell.
Don't tell me yet. I want to hear all about it. Yo, yo, yo. What up? Mr. Mike. Magic Mike. Magic Michael with the banana hammock.
Double Michael. XL, baby. Are we ready?
Yeah,
we good. Yeah,
you got Deese's levels. He's good. You
already yeah, that? Deese is decent. You know,
that's the best you're gonna get from me. All Deese right. is the best. Crack that for you. So you
all right, dudes. We don't rock headphones.
That's all right.
I think it's weird. No, I think it feels weird. It feels like more of a fucking.
You can't hear you. So it's all right.
You're
like
plugged in.
But that's all right. If you only got, well, do you kick in too or?
Oh yeah, I kick.
All right. Okay. Good. Now we got three people. I don't know where to look now.
I'm basically Jamie.
Oh yeah, Jamie, yeah. Jamie, find it. Pull it up.
Yeah. Pull it up, Jamie. Yeah. And
I gotta send you this TikTok video. Have you seen that sketch? This guy does this sketch where he's like, he's a Jamie. Pull it up, and he just talks about all the weird shit he pulls up.
I haven't seen that.
Please send it. Anything that, because I know with your podcast you do all sorts of fun things. We don't really have a lot of fun things on our podcast, rather than just it's all improvising conversation. So if you have anything that you want to send Mike, that'll help.
This guy. Brent Bell on TikTok. Where the fuck was that? I'm so bad at TikTok, though. I'm just trying to find TikTok for, like, I'm still new at
life.
I don't, man, I do not understand it, and it's this shit that fucking goddamn kids.
These goddamn kids.
Oh, man, somebody removed the video.
No.
God damn it, TikTok.
Joe Rogan with the copyright strike.
Yeah, you let 15-year-olds shake their titties.
Of course they do.
You can't get a goddamn.
Bro. TikTok is a veritable, it's like a pedophile buffet out there, bro.
Tell me about it. I know.
I saw this whole expose on like some pants off dance challenge that like 12-year-olds are like unbuttoning. I'm like, God damn, dude.
Dude, yeah, just get as close to like, that shit is so, I couldn't even imagine having kids right now. That shit is crazy.
I got a daughter. She's 5. I got a few more
dude,
years.
Dude, fuck, man.
Keep the phone the fuck
man.
Out of her.
Just keep her in a shipping container for like.
No, for real. We'll vacuum seal this kid.
I will poke holes.
Yeah. No media in, no media.
I'm going to slip a tray under your fucking...
Jesus.
Why am I in jail, Dad?
Just she doesn't know. She's too young to know. You can tell her anything happened. Tell her a zombie apocalypse happened. You're keeping her safe. Be like some weird, you know...
some room shit. Just
yeah,
keep her
alone. Man. some Munchausen syndrome shit or something. Like this, right. This is for your benefit.
Okay, we're good, Mike?
No, we're good.
Lights are good.
Yeah, we're as good as it's going to be, man.
It's good, right? Okay, everything's good. Yeah. All right,
let's
cool.
execute.
And I'm good.
In okay. 3, 2, 1. Well, you need a countdown
yeah,
every time. I told
countdown.
You you're good. You look
weird.
Great, bro. Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
Boom.
What is up, beautiful people of the world? My name is Exact Change, and I'm happy to be here today with my guest, Deese Casillas.
What's that, man?
Hey,
you even got the name right too. People know me for years. Slaughter that last name so bad still.
How bad would it be if I just didn't even know?
That's
it?
Fine. I don't care. I wouldn't hold it against you. Most people can't. We're in Washington State, man. There's like I'm like one of three Mexicans.
He said, "Deese Casillas."
Yeah, that's what. Actually, dude who used to own a venue I performed at. That's what he called me.
Oh,
like, Deese Casillas. That's how I remember. I'm like, remember what? You're not saying my actual last name.
Well, what about the? So I was watching the thing where people were you were going. Out and you were interviewing people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you were like, "Hey, I got a picture of a famous person," and it was you, right?
Yeah, I did that two years ago. I was doing my talk show at the comedy club, and like late night talk show. And
you
I
had
was
a
one of the
late night talk show at
yeah.
the comedy club.
Yeah, yeah. I did that for a while. I had to put on. I'd love to go back to it. I'd like to go back to it. I had to put on hiatus. It was too much to do. It was like that. That took so much time that I couldn't do all my other projects. I loved it,
mm-hmm.
but man, I was, you know, write a new monologue every month, write a new sketch, film the sketch, book the guests.
What was it like, Jay Leno? Like,
yeah, it was like a talk show, man. I did like format like the Tonight Show. That's how it was. I would do a new monologue every month. Then I have some sort of segment like the Man on the Street segment or sketch comedy. I did.
Yeah.
I'd book a guest. It'd be like usually someone in the community, some sort of, you know, I had like Ben Stucker, who was city council president.
Nice.
I had, I can't remember now because it doesn't matter. All sorts of people. Then I'd have a comedian and then a musical guest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do it like a talk show. Yeah. And
yeah.
It was, I loved it. The comedy club owner loved it. It had a pretty good following, but it was just too, I don't need, it was too much, man. I can't do all that.
So as soon as you stopped doing it, it just stopped.
Yeah, it was my show. I pitched it to the club, and they picked it up and wanted to do it.
Dude, that's so fucking dope.
They just, it's yeah, man. Like,
when was that?
I think I stopped doing it about less than a year ago, probably like 8 months ago. It's probably been since the last one.
Hmm.
About that. We did it for about a year or so, and it just got to the point where the hard part was I had it kind of like the Daily Show where I had the screen up at the comedy club.
Okay.
So I would have like pictures that were related to my jokes during the monologue and stuff like that. But because of that, they weren't jokes. I couldn't like put them up on their feet and work them at open mics for a month. I just had to crash course it like one shot. teleprompter. Yeah, I didn't have a teleprompter, so I had to like just remember this monologue in one day. I couldn't practice it or anything because I couldn't go tell these jokes at open mic. They didn't make sense. They're
because
like
you need the vision.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
need the visual.
Like,
yeah.
Most of them were non sequiturs or just like one-off jokes that didn't really. I mean, some of them lasted a little bit, but most of them were like topical shit, so I couldn't. You know,
so usually they're sitting there looking at the monologue,
yeah,
and you're reading it as it's going, and you're literally sitting there trying to remember.
Yeah, I just had to crash course, remember 10 minutes of jokes every month, that like new jokes in addition to all my other jokes I do, and make it work. I never forgot a joke, but man, it would have been way easier to.
And were any of them filmed?
Or
you just had to be there?
We didn't film any of them. We wanted to. That was the eventual goal. But it was another thing like. I was talking to Matisse off the air before we started, man. Like trying to do anything else, I have enough projects. I can't do one more thing, and I would have been editing this film and putting it out.
You're doing
like,
everything.
I do everything as it is. I can't do.
You
one
need
more
like the
thing.
Tonight Show crew.
Yeah, if I had a crew to write and produce and do things for me, it'd be a lot easier. But I don't have that kind of juice yet.
Mm-hmm.
Good help is hard to find.
Yeah, good help is hard to find.
The whole reason I wanted to do this podcast in the first place was to bring attention to cool shit like that that I had no fucking idea was happening. Like, I was obviously here 2 years ago, and I had no fucking idea that at the comedy club they're doing the fucking Tonight Show.
Yeah, it was great. It was a fun. I'd love to bring it back. I've actually thought about bringing it back and doing it in my living room. Like, legitimately, without an audience, but filming it and doing it in my living room.
Beautiful.
And because I don't have any furniture because I'm a serial killer. And so I can set it up in my living room. But, again, it's just another thing. Right now, I'm so busy. I don't need.
What's the thing you do with the in front of the curtain? You do the fucking.
Oh, the inappropriate motivational speakers.
Yeah, bro. I love that one, bro. I was just watching all of them. I was like, this is great.
That was from an idea. My friend and I, actually, my buddy who just passed away, comic friend in town, we had a lot of conversations. That was one of them. We just started ranting about this guy who gives advice, which is horrible advice, you know, and inappropriate motivational speakers was born. So those are easy because I can write them and they're just like one line, you know, it's like two lines maybe.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit down and film like eight of them in 10 minutes and I can edit them really quick because I have the same framework for each one. I just have to edit out one video and put in the new video. And I can just, they're easy to like, they,
it's not a lot of work. Yeah.
You can produce them as fast as they render on, you know.
Dude, why? I was hoping I would see more of that stuff on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot.
I'm so bad at Instagram and Twitter. Those are my, like, I just started figuring out how to, like, get a following on Facebook in the last year. And I am so
What's Facebook?
Bad. Yeah, I know, right?
We're not even on Facebook.
What's your MySpace?
I know. That's what it's so crazy. I cannot keep up. Like, I just in the last year started getting really good engagement on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I think about a year ago I started cranking up really big because I was doing a lot more shows and also I started doing this segment like this. I had these jokes of if you want to keep people from the West Side in California from moving here, and I started doing these jokes about Spokane and it really like I did like almost 50 of them. And I was doing them one a day, and that started getting a following, and then. Since then, it's been pretty good. Instagram, I'm just now starting to get. I've been on it for like 2 years.
I miss so much on Facebook. I haven't heard any of those 50 fucking zingers, dude. Damn.
Yeah, you're not on Facebook?
No.
Oh, man. Gave it up. Huh?
I gave it up. Dude, as soon as my grandma got on, I was off. I was like, I'm done.
This isn't cool anymore.
Well, dude, I'm like, you know, if I'm smoking weed or something, my grandma's disappointed on Facebook.
My grandma's been disappointed me for years. I gave up fucking gig. I don't give a shit yet. Yeah, man. Actually, it's funny. Today, or just like an hour ago before I came here, my cousin, I posted something on Facebook about last night's Super Bowl. And, you know, everyone's mad about this shit, like the Super Bowl halftime show. And like these same people who are mad about this is an inappropriate halftime show. Don't say shit about a president who, like talking about grabbing women by the pussy. Like they support. And my cousin was like, Primo, I hope your mom can't see this. And I'm like, that is the fucking far from the most risque shit I've ever said.
Like
on
she's like caught she is, me. Yeah.
Yeah. if she's still following me on Facebook, she has seen me say the worst shit in the world. And I'm not tiptoeing around what I say to anyone.
Dude,
I just go for it.
I was talking to my mom on the phone today and I was just explaining to the podcast and I was like, oh yeah, you know, a weed store, you know, they sponsor the podcast. And she asked me, why can't Jesus sponsor your podcast?
Do you have his number?
Maybe he does, man. You don't know. Maybe he's a big fan. He's like downloading that in heaven or wherever. I don't know, whatever Jesus is at.
He might
not
be in heaven, right? Yeah. Like that might be his spot, but he might be like over at another spot, like a skybox of heaven.
Yeah, he's got a skybox.
He's like looking down, like, all right, y'all doing okay?
Like I wrote this, I wrote this sketch, and I had this joke I used to do about. Because my brother's a pastor, right? My brother is a pastor.
Yeah, that's right. I just heard that.
And I am somewhere between atheist and agnostic. I say atheist because people know what that means.
What's agnostic again?
Yeah. Agnostic is like, I'm an idiot. I have no fucking idea. None of us know what's going on. Oh. Like it's just whatever. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be nothing. Like, I don't know. I'm open to ideas.
So an atheist 100% doesn't believe.
Right. Is confident that there's nothing.
Okay.
I'm not that... that egotistical right, no, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have no fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
like that's what I'm confident in. I have no idea. But I wrote this, I used this bit, and I wrote this sketch actually about Mary, how when she got pregnant with Jesus, she found out she was pregnant. So she got an abortion, but then 3 days later, she was just pregnant again. Like, because Jesus rose from the dead in 3 days, you know what I'm saying? And
how'd your brother take that?
Yeah, right. I think he unfollowed me a long time ago. I'll just talk some subversive shit, man. I don't care. I'm not tiptoeing around anyone's like ideals or morals or.
You're not really. You're not putting yourself like thinking like, oh, what are these people gonna say?
No,
because that wouldn't make you a good comedian.
Yeah, you have to censor. I'm not gonna censor myself for someone else's. Like, what? You ask 10 people what their moral line is, and you're gonna get 10 different answers.
True.
And the problem is like all of them are right and none of them are right. You know. And that's
because everybody has their own boundaries, right. And you get to set your own.
You get to decide. Like, if you don't like it, don't listen, don't support it, turn the channel, whatever. But also, man, other people might be into it, so you can be mad at, say, Dave Chappelle's last album was transphobic or whatever. But guess what? I saw him live. He was funny as shit.
So what
and
about
he just won the Grammy for best comedy? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
So
man.
What about people that are offended about the? The Ari Shaffir stuff.
Oh, with Kobe?
Because I guess he does that all the time to like everybody who dies.
Yeah, yeah, he does. He does. And that's what he does. That's his thing. He's edgy. And it's a little, I don't know. I'm of the mind where either like everything's on the table or nothing's on the table.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it, but I've certainly made jokes about people.
Because you're kind of in that same lane, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'll say things that, I mean, like, so when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, right? Mm-hmm. He OD'd on heroin.
God, I love that guy.
Yeah, and I made the joke of like, you know, yeah, it's really sad that Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, died overdosed on heroin. But it's rare that someone can say they died doing what they loved.
That's good.
That is like, I don't know. That's probably not as harsh as what.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good laugh. But that was like right when he died.
Yeah, that was the day, same day.
And how many people are like die hard, bleed Philip Seymour Hoffman
true,
fans?
True, yeah, I don't know, man.
No one has a Philip Seymour Hoffman jersey.
Right, we you know what I mean? I don't think Philip Seymour Hoffman and I have a lot of crossover audience either.
Yeah, true.
We're probably different ends of the spectrum on that one. Yeah, a well-regarded, like one of the most well-regarded actors of our time, and then me.
Amazing.
So, yeah. The Kobe stuff was weird. I don't know. I thought it was weird because like my brain instantly went to jokes
because
that's my like
that's where you're that's, at. That's where your head's at. Yeah.
And it's my defense. It's how like my head deals with dark stuff as sad stuff as
helps you process.
Yeah, it's jokes. You know I think some of the stuff that like Ari Shaffir says is not, there weren't even jokes is part of the problem. I think that's when I get, when I'm like, whatever, is when people just say things to incite a
like
reaction.
A shock,
they're not actually making a joke. Like
it wasn't funny.
Right. There's no joke written. There's no nothing. It's just like, he deserved to die. He was a rapist. Fuck him. Like, all right, well, you didn't really make a joke.
It wasn't clever.
Yeah.
Dude, the Philip Seymour Hoffman shit.
Yeah. That was, I gave
a chuckle. Ah, that was funny. Yeah.
Can I tell the Kobe joke I wrote?
Yes, please tell it.
So this was the.
He said, "I wouldn't do it." You want to hear my Kobe joke?
Well, so this is
at least there's a joke there.
This is what came to my head. Kobe, I'm sorry, Gianna, R.I.P. Rest. I said, in my head, I go, man, Kobe must have just hit 3 shots in a row on NBA Jam because he's on fire.
Oh.
and then I said, why does my brain work this way? I can't help it, man. That's just how, and it's not, it's
because you're a fucking genius, bro.
I don't
that's
know about
why.
That. I'm broken.
By yeah, the way, that's you know, I think that a lot of people need some comic relief. I think the big thing was that it wasn't funny. The Ari thing. I saw this meme that was like, it was like Jesus like crossing up Kobe, and he's like, you thought it was sweet up here, huh, bitch? Or something like that. I just was like, oh. Like.
Yeah, that, It is a weird thing. Because it brings out everyone who wants to talk about, you know, the rape case in Denver in 18 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. or seven, whenever the hell it was. And it's like, yeah, I get it, man. That was a fucked up situation. I there's a lot of discrepancies on how that actually went down. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't there. None of us were there. Mm-hmm. None of us were in the courtroom or read the court cases. So, right. mm-hmm. we don't know. I don't want to not believe someone who comes forward, but also she kind of took a lot of money. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into the details of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. But also, like, these people who want to come out and start talking shit now, it's like, you didn't say a fucking word about this the last 20 years, and now that he's dead, you want to talk shit? It's like, you sanctimonious piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Just want attention.
Get on your pedestal yeah. for the last 20 years. Don't, like, now decide you
want
to.
That's how it always goes. Yeah. Because the attention is on this thing now, right. and if they do a real sweet tweet, it's going to get 56,000 yeah. likes, and then you're going to fucking feel like a hero.
Right. They did something good for a day. I just love the idea of people who are, like, type something, and then they push away from their desk, like, well, work's done.
That's right.
Like, I'm a hero today. Like, go fuck yourself.
Take well, that, internet.
Bro, you be. It's so many people I'll see on Twitter that'll have like a viral tweet, and it's crazy how many people will like your tweet and then not follow you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like 80,000 likes on your tweet, and you still have 150 followers.
Right. Like, and I'm like, what is happening? I had some stupid tweet late last night about the Super Bowl. And, like, I got all these – it's probably the most engagement I've ever had from a tweet. And it was only, like, 50 likes and, like, a couple shares or something.
That's a lot.
And that was a lot for
on
me.
On Twitter, that's
and
a lot.
And it was all people who don't follow me. And I just was – because all Super Bowl hashtags. But it was, yeah. like – I don't even remember what the joke – something about this
– Pull it up.
The Super Bowl hashtag.
Pull it up, Mike.
All right, yeah.
I'm pulling it up.
Pull the joke up.
It's something about the Super Bowl and the halftime show and kids watching it.
Yeah, I think I read the tweet today.
I shitpost a lot, so I can't even remember all this.
Well, the halftime show was very beautiful.
I didn't get to see it. I saw the GIFs and clips, and I feel like that's enough.
That's enough, yeah.
God damn, Shakira's. I mean, they're both amazing. Shakira's, Jesus Christ, that girl.
Yeah,
19 hours ago from Dees Casillas. I'm really upset about the Super Bowl halftime show because kids were watching that, which made it really difficult to beat off to.
yeah, incredible. Yeah. I got there. It just took me longer.
I'm giving you one more like right now.
Thank you. Thank you. yeah, it just, I mean, so yeah, the whole thing is crazy. I don't know, man. I'll talk shit. Doesn't matter.
Well, I know a lot of comedians are, you know, you side with, like you said, it's either everything's on the table or nothing's on the table. If you start censoring one person, somebody's going to censor you, and it just becomes this whole censorship.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, this right. whole thing.
Yeah, I had this debate with one of the guy who was managing the comedy club here in Spokane like 3 years ago, and we had an egregiously bad open mic, which happens. There's shitty people who don't actually do comedy, really, and like bad rape jokes and blah, blah, just shit that's not even funny. And he kind of got after everyone. What we can talk about and this and that. You can't say this, you can't say that. And I'm like, all right, that's fine, man, if you want to put rules. But, like, just because, like, these things offend you, like, I assume you're going to also say that, like, no one can make fun of conservatives or religious people or – because, like, some people hold that very dear to them. Like, not me. I'm pretty liberal and I'm an atheist. But also I understand that some people, that's – very important to
them.
That's their world. So, like, yeah. why are we allowed to shit on anything that we don't care about? But as soon as it's something you hold sacred, well, then all of a sudden you got your fucking panties in a bunch. Go fuck yourself. That's some bullshit right there. Like, you should be able to, if you want to talk some shit about, you know, religious people, guess what? If they start talking shit about things that you hold precious, man, you got to be able to take it both ways.
Of course.
Well, I think it's just like what you were saying about, you know, everybody's got a different funny too. Like everybody's got it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
To you wasn't funny.
Right.
And sometimes I know when you're at a bad of a mic, I'm sure there's a lot of things.
There's a lot that's just bad. It's just bad. You know, people who don't, you know, new people at comedy or people who are just never going to get it.
Bro, I had a conversation with somebody. They said that There's no such thing as bad comedy. There's no such thing as bad music. There's no such thing as a bad movie. I mean, because it's all subjective.
That, there's an argument for that. I'm not. That's. I think there's objectively constructs that we've created that do dictate good versions of things. Yeah. I think we have created object parameters to define what is good. At least palatable or passable as an art, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can, you know, you can fucking, you know, put a make a robot whale queefing in slow motion and put it over a fucking, you know, sitar beat, and it doesn't mean it's good. You're like, no, this is music, and this is good. Like, no, that's not. That's
I've
not
heard
music.
Coldplay.
Yeah. All right, show's over. Joke of the night. That's it, guys. Wrap it up.
Never done comedy. Just saying.
You should start. That's good.
Well, I wasn't gonna go for the rape joke this early.
There's still time. You can't. You know, there's.
If it's good to somebody, then it can't. Then there's. It can't be bad because it's always good to somebody. Somebody likes it. Some of the worst music you've ever heard in your life. Somebody's like, dude. What?
Yeah, that's
my shit.
That's true. I still hear music. Like, I mean, I'm a big hip hop guy, but I don't hear anything new really. I like and people. I got friends who love.
Oh, I would.
Some
I would
shit.
Show you so many things you'd like.
Bro, there's. I guarantee you, there's things out there. It's the things that come to my world that like everyone's hearing. I'm like, I don't want to.
No,
because like
you're hearing the. You're hearing the. Who are some of these crazy rappers out here? Melly's, YMP, Melly's, and
Lil Yachty,
YBN, Namir.
I saw some. It was like a bunch of like if Young Thug and Future had a baby, this is what it would be. And that's like everybody.
It's just a lot of this shit just kind of sounds like whale noises or
something. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy because like T-Pain did the whole like, you know. He did like the bartender with like the auto tune, and then you have these other guys. Just
he can actually sing though. Yeah, he's a good singer. Can actually sing.
And, but when he came out with that, it was like nobody was like, "Oh, mumble rap." They're like, "Oh, this is okay.
Right,
this is cool." And then this new stuff comes out. But don't we sound like the people that like were talking shit about our music, like N.W.A. or anything else you were listening to? They're like, "Oh." Have you heard Led Zeppelin? Have you heard real music? This is trash.
Better put a C in front of that. Call it crap.
That's what, you know, that's like my dad, like, you know, and he's like, have you heard Alan Jackson?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. But see, at least, so, I mean, I grew up in L.A. in the 80s and 90s, and like, I remember when, like, N.W.A.'s first CD, like, first album, I mean, it wasn't a CD, then tape, dropped, or like early hip-hop music, like West Coast gangster rap. And it happened at a time that was like, it was a movement. It wasn't like it is now. Like, it was necessary for the racial inequality and the police brutality and the things going down in the hood. Like, that's, it was, they were talking about something,
it was
representing
a message at
something
at that time. Yeah.
So there was, you know, most of white America didn't relate to it. Like, no, yeah, fucking your dad, like Alan Jackson, didn't know what the fuck was going on in fucking South Central.
Right.
But like me living there, I'm like, yeah, oh, I it made sense to me. Like, I got it, you know.
So you grew up in L.A.
Yeah, I grew up, Long Beach. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. That's cool. What brought you to Spokane?
Oh, man. Nothing, actually. I actually didn't plan on moving here. I was driving through it on my way to Portland, and I stopped for a weekend. I never left.
Wait.
It'll do that to you.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Black hole,
Portland,
man.
Maine? Where were you going? On the way to Portland?
So it was 2008. I left L.A. I lived in the Northwest for a little while during my mid-teens. I moved up to Montana, where my family moved to Western Montana. I lived there briefly, bounced around the Northwest, all over Southwest, into Mexico, kind of everywhere. It was a wayward soul for many years.
In Mexico?
I lived in Mexico for a while. And then I went back to L.A. and was in L.A. for a number of years. 2008 hit. Left LA because the economy crashed in 08. If you don't know, so I'm like, I don't know, I'm a little older than you guys are, probably.
I was in sales. That's what that. I
remember it.
2008. Yeah, yeah. We was doing sales, bro. That's what we were doing.
Yeah, it was bad. I had my own business. I was doing, like, I had my business doing consulting, business development, marketing, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was doing comedy on the side, writing on the side, but wasn't full time yet. Doing punch up on scripts.
Were you
stuff
planning
like that.
On trying to become a comedian, or were you like committed to your business? Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, at that time, I don't think I thought about. I wanted to be a writer. Like, I was writing my first book. I did publish a couple books years ago. I would write my first book. I mean, writing is my what I'd love to do. I'd love to just be an author and write books, man. Like, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. But I was doing punch up on scripts because, you know, I was doing some open mics, doing some sketch comedy, improv, doing punch up on scripts for people I knew who worked in the industry, like really small shit no one has ever heard of. And the economy collapsed. My apartment, lease of my apartment and my office bill, like office space I rented, all came up on the same month.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna
leave.
You're
at like a crossroads.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna get out of California. Maybe I'll come back. And I thought I was gonna come back because I put everything in storage. I just like loaded up my car and dipped out.
You're like, yeah, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I'm gonna go chill. And like, I went up to Montana.
I'm gonna go chill. Yeah. I'm gonna go to Montana.
Yeah, I went and snowboarded.
Fucking
for the winter.
People from LA.
Yeah, dude.
Jesus.
I'm just like, yeah, let's go hang out. I snowboarded all winter, and then I was gonna go to Portland. That's where one of my buddies I grew up with lived. And on my way, I stopped in Spokane. I've been in Spokane before. I used to play Hoop Fest when I lived in Montana.
Okay.
And met a guy at a bar one night who wanted help on a project. He just moved here. He had a online consulting type independent business out of Seattle, and he needed my expertise. He got me to stay for a little while for this project and paid me a good amount of money. And
whoa,
next
crazy.
Thing I've
just
been
at
here
a bar.
For,
just
yeah,
met this dude.
He'd only lived here a couple of weeks. And I was just coming through, and we just started talking, and we worked together for a couple. Ended up working together for a couple years on stuff.
Wow!
And then I just stayed, man. I started writing and published my first book. Found that wasn't paying much. Mm-hmm. Found some comedy writing that was paying online. Mm-hmm. Started doing that shit. And then just, yeah.
And so had you done stand-up at that point?
Yes. Okay. First stand-up I did was at Pete's at the Beach on 7th Street and Pacific Coast Highway in Long Beach, California.
What was that like, dude?
It was a nightmare.
I could only imagine.
There was this dude who's just a road comic, never had any notoriety, named Vinny, who used to run this room.
Vinny.
Okay. And he wanted to do, I used to go watch, and I talked to him, and he's like, oh man, you're funny, you should do this. I'm like, I've always thought about it. So when he's like, I'm going to make you go up next week. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I'd written jokes and stuff. I just never done them. And I started doing it, and I'm like, all right, I kind of like, this is fun. I never knew how to make it. Like, I never thought about the financial side of making it viable until years later, though.
Of course.
And then it started clicking and making sense.
At first
sense
it was like, let's just, I mean, it sounds just terrifying to go on stage and have to try to make people laugh.
Well, I don't know. You do music, man. It's not much different than that. I mean, you
so
got to go.
It's probably not, but
I feel like the bar is a little lower, though, like we were talking about. I mean, if the beat's good, people will dance to anything.
That's
motherfuckers
true,
go up there and rap to their CD playing in the background. And
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? You can't throw on your record and just like
lip sync over it. I should do that one time.
Oh. Or just do your own ad libs on your jokes.
Music. So the other thing is if you forget some words or you kind of fuck your setup and shit,
yeah,
that music's still going.
Yeah,
you are getting crickets. And that's like... I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just run off the stage and just never come back again. Like, change my face. I do face off. I do fucking little Nick Cage.
See, I don't know. I'm a robot. I don't have nerve endings. So, like, I don't get. My resting pulse is like 42 beats a minute, man. Seriously. Jesus. Like, I have no. My resting pulse is like dead.
Clinically dead.
I don't get very excited, but I don't get nervous either. Like, I don't have big highs, I don't have big lows. I'm pretty
even
all the time. So
has it always been like that?
Yeah, I've always been a sociopath. pretty much, yeah.
And very honest.
I've always just kind of been very even, so it was easy for I don't get that nervous feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty comfortable. So even when it's not going as well as I want it to, it's pretty easy for me to be like, nah, I don't know, fuck it. Like, I've used these same jokes on, you know, in 600 seat theaters and crushed. So fuck you guys. I don't give a
shit.
Like, I don't really care.
Is this something that you've developed through your childhood, or is this something that is just was always how you were?
Oh, always, man. Always. Like, I was always loved comedy. I fell in love with comedy as a kid. What I would do is I would pretend like I fell asleep on the floor in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would like sit on the sofa and watch TV all night, and then he'd like get drunk and pass out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I pretended like I fell asleep on the floor, he would pass out before he'd move me to my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could stay up and watch like The Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live. Or there used to be this thing called Stand Up Spotlight on VH1 that Rosie O'Donnell hosted, actually. This was like late 80s, early 90s. And I'd watch that show. I was like, you know, 8, 9 years old, and mm-hmm. I would watch stand up, and I loved it.
That's when you first
found
stand up.
Yeah. So, and I love sketch comedy, watching Saturday Night Live, and then The Tonight Show, like watching that.
Who were some of those, like, on that spotlight? Who were some of those young comedians? Do you know? Or is anybody
Norm MacDonald early on?
Mm. Nice.
I love Norm. He's still my favorite comic. Mm. I love Norm MacDonald.
He's your favorite comic?
Yeah. I love Norm MacDonald.
Norm's
so
awesome.
Norm and Dave Chappelle, those are two polar opposites, but my two favorite comics, I think, as far as stand-up comedy goes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. One of the earliest jokes I remember that, oh my God, so really, it stuck with me still, is when Norm MacDonald was doing Weekend Update,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, top 10 list of worst jobs in America came in. Second worst job in America, crack whore. First worst job in America, assistant crack whore. I was like 9 years old. I'm like, that's a funny joke. I'm like, that's really funny.
So you had a good taste for comedy.
I loved
at
it.
At a young age,
yeah.
too, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of become, like, were you always like, how were you funny as a kid? Were you kind of, you know, playing jokes on people? Were you telling jokes?
I was always like a little of everything, man. I was a prankster. I would mess with people. I come from a big Mexican family, and like, you had to have thick skin. Like, people were fucking with you all the time too. All my aunts and uncles are all like, my uncles especially, you have to battle, and it's a battle of wits.
Really?
You gotta be fast, and you gotta be able to take some shit, and you gotta be able to sling it back real fast.
Okay.
So you learn, if you want to survive in the family, you gotta be able to just battle fast.
So this is where that thick skin came from.
Oh, yeah.
Early on.
And it just was like natural. And but I was always doing shit. Like, I was like a fuck up in school, of course. I remember, when I was in fifth grade, our teacher is this first year teacher, and everyone gets around, and they're like, she's like, all right, stand up and say your name, this and that, da 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 da. And I stand up, I'm like, oh, my name is Deez Casillas, and I'm an alcoholic. And like, that was my joke. And I'm like, and she was like, looking at me like, how, this kid's making jokes about AA meetings in fifth grade. Who the fuck is, like, this kid is this? And, we made that teacher quit. She quit after 1 year.
It's like, this kid has pretended to be asleep on the floor too much. He's being subjected to adult humor. That's funny. That's because amazing. She probably laughed. She's probably like, that was good.
Yeah. I always said, I go, the kids, because it was in a new school, a new class, because they didn't know. I said, the kids who laughed at that joke, I'm like, all right, now I know who has bad parents too, and those are going to be my friends.
Yeah, dude.
Nice little day one litmus test for everybody.
Yeah. If they get the alcoholic joke, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're my people.
Because I definitely would have been like, huh?
Yeah.
What's that? Would you say it was the second grade?
The fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay. Yeah. No, I'd have been like, what are you talking about, bro?
Oh, man.
Alcoholic. I wouldn't have got it at all.
No?
No.
Yeah,
I was a dude. I was like, just green, like my
really?
Whole yeah, like I mean my parents were just like super, like I couldn't listen to edited music.
Oh really?
Yeah, like, damn. Like, and I didn't have like any like really crazy uncle that were like badass, like pounding shit and like, you know, like hit me with adult shit. Like, my mom like kept me in this like she sheltered
insulated
me up, bro.
Little...
Like, I would go to school, like once you get older you go to school and you kind of get, you know, you hanging out.
They can't
with.
Help what you're exposed to. There.
Yeah, then you're hanging out with all sorts of, you know, degenerates and fucking learning. Oh. And then learning. And then I'm going to your house, and you're like, this is how it is at my house. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is the real world. Oh, this is great. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You're like, dude, we have comedy specials here. We have HBO. We have, it used to be all just like, and then the kids across the street from me, they would be so censored. They couldn't watch anything. Like, really? They couldn't watch. It was just like Magic School Bus and Arthur.
God damn. But they just have PBS. They didn't even get other channels.
Well, you would like try to watch, you know, like a cartoon, like, I mean, The Simpsons, and that was like off to everybody. We couldn't even watch that.
Well, yeah, Simpsons was.
But I mean, that's like normal now. Like, kids are watching.
Oh, they're watching fucking anal gangbangs, man. Oh, you got you porn, man. Those kids
they do.
Are lucky.
They really do.
It's all out there, yeah.
They do. And there's so many parodies of different, like, you know, there's porn parody. Is that what you call it, like a porn remake?
It's
not a parody.
He's acting like he doesn't know.
Is that what are they?
What's the correct term for it?
I think porn parody. Yeah,
what's
I
it? BBWDP? I don't know.
No, because, okay, so I use the Fire Stick to I'll be on there trying to find something to watch.
That's what I call my
dick.
Hey. And it'll.
Best joke of the night show,
bro. They got the Star Wars.
Yeah.
They got the Indiana Jones.
Star Horse.
Yeah, Star Horse.
Indiana Bones, Temple of Poon.
Well, oh, my God.
So when I was young, real talk, when I was younger, there was my buddy's older brother had this trilogy of cassette pornography videos. Pornography. What am I fucking? Jesus Christ. Who am I?
Pornography. Jesus. Videos.
What am I? Tipper Gore?
Illicit. Like fucking smut.
The
cut. I don't know how much of our audience is going to get Tipper Gore.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm showing my age here. It was called Star Whores. And it was Star Whores Return of the One Eye and Star Whores, or no, Star Whores The Empire on Its Back, and then Star Whores Return of the One Eye. Those are the name of the three.
This was on VHS.
Yeah, these were VHS tapes.
He didn't have a new rope.
No, they didn't. It was before all that, man. Before,
all the
yeah,
new
they
rope.
It was just oh, it was just called I, it was just called Star Whores. They didn't have. It was like, yeah, a new hole or something. I don't know.
The Phantom Anus.
Yeah.
I remember instead of the Blair Witch Project, they had the Bear Bitch Project.
Nice.
Oh, damn. All right.
That was at Hollywood Video. Like,
really?
I was going. I
Did
was
you
like,
have to go
oh,
through a beaded curtain?
It was right there.
Yeah.
No beaded
through, like,
curtain.
You go through the Western doors. They, yeah. Yeah, they've got the.
Do you guys remember that?
Get a sarsaparilla.
The back room?
Yeah. And why did all VHS, all pornos had like a comically oversized box? It's like a fucking.
It's
like a,
so huge.
It's like a hub. Like a fucking hubcap. Like you're carrying that like a vinyl. I'm like, why is this so big? It's the same.
Here's your briefcase.
Because you need to be shamed.
Right. Dude, you're going through those Western doors. At the and then pulling out like a goddamn, you know, frisbee to
and,
watch
and everything and like if there was like a CD part of the store or a CD store or something like that, it would always be like the room would be like it'd have remember those like black light pictures?
Yeah,
it was like the felt.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
of
yeah.
Course.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and those
I
were
remember
just
Spencer's.
That's how you know. That's how you know you're in the right spot.
Yeah. Although you listen, black light in any place where you jack it are bad combination.
Horrible.
Right? Never
true.
Jerk off. That's a yeah.
I bet it's actually fun to watch though. I've never like done the full thing in a black light to like watch it come out like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna go home and eat mushrooms. Dude, blow my mind. Right,
yeah, do it in slow-mo, bro.
Yeah, actually, oh God, that'd be fun to film. And then if you could just not ever tell anyone what it was. Like, don't film your dick, just the fucking blowing the load. Yeah. And then be like, oh, it's art. Yeah,
under
it is.
A black light.
Yeah, that could be like a powerful YouTube video for
lime
something
green
else.
Ectoplasm
that
coming
yeah.
out of
yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
Can't put that shit in my head. I've eaten mushrooms in my house way too many times and started filming some weird shit.
Oh, of course.
I get some weird ideas for sketches in my head. I start filming some.
So does it help? Do you use it? Like, do you ever use mushrooms to kind of help you bring ideas out? Or is it just like an accidental kind of just taking mushrooms because you're in a weird spot and then all of a sudden.
Both, probably. I mean, I eat mushrooms a lot. It's my only vice. I don't do anything else. I quit drinking and quit everything else. But like I'll microdose. And then every now and then I'll do a nice little adventure time, a little good adventure.
I like that.
Yeah.
I really love mushrooms,
yeah.
man.
About once a month, yeah.
And so how is the microdose? Is that like
it's great, man.
And that just keeps you.
Well, it's I started getting interested in it because a health podcast, somebody was talking about this girl was talking about using it. For now, it's very prevalent about treating depression and PTSD, mm-hmm. trauma, yeah. things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would just take a little, you know, not every day, just every now and then. And it just, the way she described it is, it made her notice the flowers again. And I'm like, all right, that's an interesting way to describe it. Like, I
like that.
Yeah, I can dig it. So it was enough to make me want to just to start trying it. And yeah, just like you're not high at all. You just get a little bit of a, like,
so did that kind of make sense? Like what she
yes.
said?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then it, you know, usually kind of those effects will feel for a couple days, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you do it again, or if you're feeling good, it just depends on how I'm vibing for the month. But
I think it's something cool that people can, that people should try. I think, yeah. I think that it should be legal everywhere.
Yeah,
because
normalized at least. Because, I mean, not stigmatized.
Because people don't. You always stigmatize these things. We just don't know.
Yeah.
What it is. It's like I found a way. At first, it was always just like a fun trip with your friends.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd never done it alone.
Oh really?
I was always kind of just like alone. Man. Like yeah. You take it. You go out with your friend. You go in the woods. You
sure.
go do, you know,
yeah.
whatever. Like, yeah. And then like I took it alone, and it was so crazy how therapeutic and how
yeah.
I was able to like look within and like really conquer like a lot of inner bitch inside
sure.
myself
yeah,
and
yeah.
like change bad habits and weird things that I don't know. It just really it gives you a lot of clarity.
I think like it. I feel like it like not to get too like hippie, like rubbing some crystals on your third
fucking
eye chakra here, but like
it.
It opens up mental blocks. I think is what it is. It's just like there's mental blocks that are natural defenses our brain puts up to keep us from certain trauma and certain things that like keep us sane and like we have to put like there's a reason people block out memories.
Yeah,
because otherwise, if our brain had to really face those, we'd lose our goddamn minds. You know, our brains evolved. That's what we, you know, when humans evolved, we evolved our brains. You know, and that's what keeps us safe. You know, we didn't have claws and fangs and, you know, shit like that.
You had
that.
To be smart.
Yeah, we had to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And the I think it opens those things up, but we're in a headspace where we can deal with them a little bit better and kind of categorize them. In ways, because your brain is just a filing system, man. It's just a computer trying to file shit away and figure out how to process things, you know. That's all it is. So if you you can get in a headspace where you can process those accurately and well, you know, it allows you to go through your day easier and better. You know, it's not the subconscious thing stuck.
Right. The stigma's weird to where you can have all these other drugs that are pharmaceutical where it's like,
yeah, that's the thing.
But it's like,
that shit fucks you up.
But why do people have to be, why is it, I don't understand why
money.
Mushroom.
It's
oh,
money.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Say no more. Oh yeah, I do understand. I totally get that.
It all makes sense. Now.
Money. Pharmaceutical companies have lots of money, and they give our politicians lots of money.
But you know, I'm just saying, as far as like the average person, I guess a lot of people are from a place where information, you had to do a lot of work to get it.
Right.
You had to go get a book. You had to read it. You had to do all these things. But with it's so accessible to us right now, it seems crazy that people would be like, oh yeah, mushrooms are bad. You know, it's a bad thing. Like
right.
it should be so normalized.
People,
that this is beneficial for everybody.
People don't want to change their minds on anything that was like set in stone. Like things were set in stone about how bad mushrooms were for you. I remember when I was in whatever grade and they made us watch this Dare video and there was that fucking lion. That lion.
Yeah.
And
lion.
This cartoon they watch, they make you watch, and this kid smokes weed and then he goes on like this psychedelic trip and like is sucking dick for weed and you know, this is crazy. And all I could think is, damn, where'd that kid get that weed? I'm like, shit, where's that weed, man? I'm trying to get my hands on that shit.
Yeah.
Like, where?
Right?
Like, I was like fifth grade, I'm like, I smoke weed. That weed I smoke ain't doing
weed
that
ain't
shit.
Ain't doing that shit,
bro.
Yeah.
I could try to bring myself back to thinking about what it was like. What did I think when I was in fifth grade and they were talking about weed? I don't think I knew what weed was.
You weren't smoking that young.
I started
at like 12.
Yeah. You started at 12?
Yeah. So when I'm seeing these commercials of like the girl talking to her dog or like the chick that completely melts into the couch, she's like flat on the couch, deflated.
Like, dude, you did acid.
Where is that weed at?
Yeah, you smoke PCP.
Yeah, that's some whole next level shit right there.
This is not a weed commercial, man. Bro. You guys smoke some PCP.
It wasn't until I saw Friday, Friday, and then I saw Smokey. I was like, yeah, I want to smoke weed. That looks fun.
That was
Smokey back here taking a shit. Like, I could just be walking around the neighborhood, just hanging out. You know, throwing zingers at people, just high.
Of course.
Walking by, like, hey, Miss Parker. Someone hear my phone ring?
Yeah,
like,
that's the life right there.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and I kind of just fell in love. I know everybody gets their vice, you know, and weed is definitely 100%.
Yeah.
I love it. And I get it. I guess so many people that are just like, dude, it gets me in my thoughts. I'm thinking. It gets weird. I get anxiety. It makes it crazy. And, you know, that's where, like, a lot of people, alcohol is their thing, where it just does the opposite and you kind of relax and get rid of all that anxiety. And I think mushrooms is just, I haven't heard of any, like, real negative side effects or like long-term problems with people who microdose and stuff like that.
I don't think there is. I mean, I've had two bad trips in my life, but they were probably my fault. I mean, because I just went hard.
Like when you were younger, like young.
One was like within the last 10 years. The other was probably like, Jesus Christ, closer to 20 years ago. God damn, I'm getting old. I gotta stop doing drugs.
Well, hey, you haven't had a bad trip in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm
so good for you. You're doing good. Let's hear about it. You're growing up.
That's one out of two.
Out of all the times I've done mushrooms, that's a good batting ratio, actually. But I've always I mean, I don't think there's bad. I quit drinking 9 months ago. Probably the best decision of my life. That shit, I mean, like, anything in moderation's fine. You know, I'm not going to shit. I got friends still drinking stuff. That's fine. I don't care. If you want to get drunk occasionally, go for it, man. I had to stop, and I wasn't even like, it wasn't even the point where I was, it was like ruining my life. Like, it wasn't ruining relationships. It wasn't ruining like financially. I just was felt like shit. And I was like, I'd be on the road, and I'd get worn down, man. Like, I remember one of the last times I was on the road for like 3 weeks straight, and it's drive an average of 5 hours a day, load up at the venue, go to the hotel, shitty hotel, come back, do the show, drink all night, go back to the hotel, sleep a couple hours, wake up hungover, drive 5 hours, do the same thing for like 3 weeks straight. And I'm just going, look at my buddy I did, you know, my partner I did comedy with for that time. And I'm like, I don't think I can do this anymore, man. I gotta.
So were you like was it something that was like really hard to shake, like you really loved, like you enjoyed doing it, or was it pretty easy for you to kind of?
By the end, it was really easy to stop.
Because you drank for what?
Oh, God.
Long time.
I was drinking. I mean, I'm 37 now. Mm-hmm. First time I got drunk, I was like 9 years old, but I started drinking consistently by the time I was like 12, 13.
Wow.
And it was
like just getting fucked up with your friends and just stuff like that.
Yeah. So I mean, you're talking what, 25 years of just getting of, and so it was easy to quit, so I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. It felt like more of a chore and something I had to do. And that's always the way I was with drugs and alcohol, and like I used to smoke cigarettes and stuff. But when I felt like I had to do it, that's when I'm like, I don't want to feel like I have to do anything.
Right. Did you ever try to do like Sober October or anything before that?
I quit for periods of time before, so I knew I could.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I miss still is I was a big craft beer guy, and I miss like tasting good beers.
Yeah.
It's not even the getting drunk. It's like I would just like to taste like the taste of a good porter, like or something like that. But,
and is it just hard to keep in moderation, or you just have to make that decision to quit because you like go all in or not at all kind of thing? Or
you know what? So realistically, what happened is I decided I was going to quit, and I mentioned it to another comedy friend of mine, and he said he wanted to quit with me, and he's like, "Yeah, I want to quit too." And he had a big alcohol problem, and he. Oh, so we kind of put this arbitrary date we were going to quit. So like a couple months down the road, like we'll have some party time in the summer and blah, blah. And then we'll have like half summer to patios and summer beach, you know, and then we'll quit. Well, the next weekend he checked himself into rehab. So I was like, all right, well, we said we're going to quit together. You bumped up our timeline. We're in this together. I quit. I'm not going to wait a couple months.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then my cousin who does comedy also, I was talking to her about telling her I was going to quit. She's like, I want to quit with you. And I'm like, all right.
Mm.
And another comic quit too. So four of us all kind of quit at the same time. And I think I could, realistically, I think I could drink again, drink in moderation, be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I would feel like I was letting them down.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I feel like some of them need it to be sober,
mm-hmm.
like really just to save their lives even.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, one of them was a friend of mine who, you were at the show, Tony Russell, who mm-hmm. took his life a couple weeks ago. So that was like, it, you know, didn't shit, man. He took him, got him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
even with the support, I mean, just, yeah.
So, I mean,
so it means a lot more to just keep the, you know, the culture.
Right.
It sounds fun, honestly. Like, it's like everybody quitting together. It's like the support system.
Yeah,
like,
it was, I mean, I get a lot more done. I started like, basically, I'm like, man, I got like a 401k retirement fund just from not drinking, like the money I saved. Like, I had no idea I was spending this much goddamn money and getting drunk every month.
Well, especially as a comic, I'm sure, you were saying, when you're on the road, you know, when you're on the road, you're number one, it's just way different. You're not your house isn't,
well, you're eating, you're drinking different, you're drinking different, you're trying to like, you just, it's a crazy, that when I started getting on the road regularly, that's when it hit me of like, man, how long am I gonna last doing this? This mm-hmm. is like, I like it, but man, it will fucking, I mean, again, I am pushing 40. It will wear you down.
Like, so like how many shows do you have? Like, how long are you gone? Like, how many, it just seems crazy.
Now I kind of like a mental breakdown a couple months ago, and I reeled it in. I stopped doing anything for a couple months, really barely anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like,
just taking
a
break and chill. Yeah.
And I was, when my old partner Michael Glassmeyer was in town and we were doing our Nearly Famous comedy tours, we'd be gone for weeks at a time.
He does the music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He's
so
good.
Actually, he's going to be back next week. We got our week of shows we're doing together. Actually, he's back tomorrow. And then next week we've got shows all week we're doing around.
Yeah, that one where you were I know you're going off. You were talking about something, but when you were staring off into the lake.
Mm.
And you're very
sad.
We
said we were quitting each year. We were quitting.
And then he comes up and he's like, why are you sad? And then you tell him, you're like, oh, well, you're moving away. And then he takes his glasses off.
Yeah, then we played some Sarah McLachlan.
That was great.
I will remember.
It was so good. Honestly, I was like, God damn, bro.
A little tears.
Yeah. And then he was just like, yeah, we got shows in February. Yeah. I think that was like October or something, right?
Yeah,
I was watching
that
the
was
older,
October, November.
And I'm like, oh shit, it is February now. Holy shit, they got a show coming up.
Yeah, he's back and we got shows all over in Washington. We got like a week of shows, so something in Idaho too somewhere, but we'd be gone for weeks at a time sometimes, and it got to the point where it was wearing me out. Like, now I'm a little smarter on where I'll take gigs, what I'll take.
Well, and then not drinking too, obviously.
Yeah, makes it easier. I sleep better, eat better, but I try to touch home more regularly. I don't like to be gone for weeks at a time.
Mm.
Like, I don't like to be gone. I mean, it's like 7 days, sometimes nine. Ideally, I'd be like five and then at least be home for a day or two and then back on the road. It's just kind of, you know, you can't always, you got to go where the money is, but at the same time, I produce most of my own shows, so I can kind of set up my.
Yeah, you control a little bit more. Yeah. And so you got to do some shows in some of these like smaller Idaho towns and some of these, like where else? Like Montana, stuff like that?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about some of these. I'm just curious to hear about some of these unique situations.
Do you want the good or the bad?
The bad.
Oh. Well,
I mean, we can get with the good. We can, you know, we can hit the good later. I like to hear the grimy.
The worst This is the worst and funny worst show I ever did was actually in Colville, Washington.
Oh, wow.
And a little place called Burdick's. You guys have probably heard of it. A lot of hip hop shows go on there.
Okay.
You probably heard this story when you were at the show on Monday night, if you heard me go up. Mm-hmm. But this was a show. This black dude named Ryan Reeves books us to do this show, and I say he's a black guy because that pertains to the story later. I'm not saying it just to point out that I know a black guy. And I'd never met Ryan at this point. This is the mm-hmm. first time. He just booked me on this show, and we go up to Colville, and my buddy Tony and I, on the way up there, we get there and we go to the bar. And it's a crowded bar. First, Tony's gregarious. He wants to talk to everyone. And, you know, Tony's Korean. I'm Mexican. We're walking around. And Tony walks to the guys. He goes, "Hey, you guys here for the comedy show?" And the guy looks at him straight in the eye and just gives him the fucking Heil Hitler, like, and just stares at us and then walks away. And Tony's like, "All right, so it's going to be that kind of night. All right, that's..." Then... these guys are just like pacing around us all night. And then our buddy Steve gets there, who's a typical white guy from Spokane, quite unremarkable. And he's another comic. But we didn't find out till later that he had just found out his girlfriend was pregnant. So he's like shitting himself, thinking he's going to die in a hate crime that night. And he's like, "Man, I'm white. I don't even deserve this." Then Ryan shows up. Again, like black dude from L.A. Looks like a black dude from L.A. Like think of a black dude from L.A. This is Ryan. All right. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Ryan. He's a friend of mine. But like, you know, now after I met him, we hang out. Like, I love the guy. But him in Colville, Washington, it was like record scratch, stop, skip. The whole bar looks over. And then there's these white supremacist guys in the back playing pool with their pool sticks, just pacing like they want to just beat the shit out of us. Tony goes up to start the show, and he walks up and he's like, "Hey guys, welcome to the show." He's like, "Hey, so Colville," he's like, "so give it up for white people, right?" And just starts clapping his hands like, "Yeah, white people."
Oh my
and,
God.
And Ryan is oblivious. Steve is shitting his pants, and I am dying. I'm laughing my fucking ass off. I'm like, this is hilarious to me. We had to like block the stage several times from these like white supremacist guys trying to rush the stage and wanting to fight us. And these two Alaskan fisherman dudes, like big old drinks of water, man, with like pistols on their side, decided they liked us and wanted like, "Well, you're with us tonight." And I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I need some white people on my side in Colville, Washington.
You never know what you're going to get into.
So interesting fact about Burdick's.
Yeah.
I had to Google Colville, Washington, Burdick's. And I just wanted to see the place. So I went to images.
Yeah.
Every single image for Burdick's Colville, Washington, when you search on Google, is a flyer for a rap show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every single picture is just a flyer for a different rap show, with the one exception being late night comedy hosted by Ryan Reeves.
Am I on the poster?
Dees Casillas, Steve Johnson, and Greg Bleacher.
Greg was on the show. Tony replaced Greg. Greg couldn't go. We would have been fucked if we had two black people.
Bro, that's just right up the road. I feel like,
yeah. See where the bar, what the bar looks like.
The
this
funny thing is
ridiculous.
So we're sitting at a table. I'm sitting with Ryan after the show, drinking, talking to this dude at the who's in Colville, lives in Colville. And the next weekend, there's flyers on the table for Afro Man is at this place. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, how the mighty have fallen. Like, how am I fucking at a bar that Afro Man is playing next week? I don't know if that's good for me or bad for him. Maybe somewhere in the middle. And this dude picks up the flyer of Afro Man, who is a, you know, bigger, rotund black dude, like dark skinned black dude with an afro, right? We all know who Afro Man looks like. Ryan Reeves is like 5'6", skinny, little light skinned black guy. This dude from Colville looks at Afro Man, looks at Ryan, looks at he goes, "Is this you?" like, goddamn, they really all look alike to you here, don't they?
Oh,
fuck,
my.
You guys.
Man, and Colville's what, 45 minutes away?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Damn, bro, there's a lot of craziness all around us in Spokane.
It's It's
some craziness.
It gets
man.
Out in the sticks real quick. Even man, even I did a show in Vaughan, Washington, which is just about 20 minutes west of Tacoma. It's out on the peninsula, right?
Oh, okay.
Off, in the very south of the Sound, in on the west side of the state. And I'm like, I forgot. You even go 20 minutes outside of Tacoma, and you are in the sticks. Like it, you get outside of the city even a little bit, and you forget how quickly it turns into fucking like deliverance, just like real scary, real fast.
It's
I'm like,
nuts.
Yeah, I mean, because people think you know
it's weird because you're like the city's right there.
Yeah, yeah. You better get your ass back there fast.
Yeah. Wow.
It gets weird real fast.
Bro, because I'd want to live in the country, dude. Like, just for the fact that, like, I feel like everybody would, right? Like, everybody wants, like, their own shit.
Yeah.
With not, like, everybody around trying to get into your shit,
yeah,
right?
I
like,
grow my mushrooms and shoot a bear.
Yeah,
man.
Just one house, 5 acres. Like, if all of us could have that and be probably, like, 15 minutes, 10 minutes from town.
Yeah.
That's what we all want. But it's like... wouldn't be assholes.
No, well, yeah, man.
So we have to stay in the city where all the sane people are. It
progressive,
seems.
Progressive, open-minded people. Yeah. It gets real closed-minded.
And it's not everybody. Real quick. And it's not everybody. But there's definitely, like, those people are, you know, it's weird, man. You talk to people that are just, I mean.
I sat at a bar, got some food for the show in Vaughan. And the people coming in and out of there, I'm like, damn, this is a little ass town. This seems like very ho-dunk. And there's this guy talking to this girl at the bar, and he's like, older guy, you know, probably 60 or so. He's like, yeah, I'm an electrician. I know I'm an electrician. I do some plumbing. Look, I do that because I'm a guy. You couldn't do that because you're a lady, but you could be my secretary or something like that if you need a new job. And I'm like, dude, this guy is stuck in a world of like this, like Mad Men, like in the 1950s, this girl's your secretary. Like, I mean, I, you know, it is not to be sound cliche, but it's 2020. There's some girls, you know, doing some crazy shit out there. They're like, they're doing anything anyone else is doing. Ronda Rousey's was beating the shit out of people. You have what's her name, Amanda Nunes.
She's beating the shit out of people,
man. That's you want to tell her she can be your secretary? Go fuck yourself.
So no,
listen, Toots.
Yeah, tell Amanda Nunes you can be my secretary, little lady. If you're
I work
lucky.
With the wires because
I
got
that.
A big brain.
I love
file
that.
The
man.
Paperwork.
I love seeing like. That stereotype broken. People just are like, oh, yeah. Even in the UFC or something like that, people are like, oh man, it's a couple girls fighting. Like, oh, like it's gonna be a boring fight.
Yeah.
And then you just see, a chicken dude. Knocked out. You're like, oh,
yeah, man.
Whoa.
Yeah, that stuff is
it's
wild,
tough, bro.
I was a boxer growing up. I did kickboxing, MMA, and stuff like that. I used to train people, and I used to actually put on fights. And one of my, I used to produce MMA fights here in Spokane even. And
not in a comedic way.
No, like real legit. I mean,
Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, they were. We had. I mean, they were amateur fights, but they were people who have. I mean, we've worked with all the bunch, and we had people from all over different states coming and competing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was, I always said, man, the girl fights were the best because those bitches would not quit. They were angry and trying to prove something,
really?
And they were proving it, man. We had this kickboxing fight where these girls. I've never seen so much blood in the ring afterwards. Just, I mean, both their faces just.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, sometimes I think it's good. I think you know, there's some people in this world who just need to get that fucking aggression out, man. And they want to get it out on each other.
Okay.
And they're trying to fucking get
whatever
a gold,
do, man.
A little gold belt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's crazy and really cool how that has become. You know, like this is a sport,
right?
These people, you know, not battling to the death. Because
I'm for that too. If you want to go to death, let's take it, man.
Throw
what about that? What about like prisoners?
Right?
Like
I'm for
doing
it.
The
death
like,
row inmates.
Yeah,
just,
you knock off like half your sentence.
But then
you
we're sick. We're sick.
Yeah.
For wanting to watch that. Oh, you want to watch people die?
Know,
you sick fuck.
I didn't say I want to. I didn't say I wouldn't.
Right.
But I mean,
it's not my first choice, but
you
tell me at the Spokane Arena, it's going to be fucking
for
death
fight. If I happen to get a pair of tickets gifted to me, maybe I'll go.
Oh, man.
I heard there was going to be a lion. I'm going.
Yeah. Oh, dude, if I could, I would pay to see people wrestle animals like a bear or a gorilla.
Some revenant shit.
Alligator.
I'd pay to see a dude fight a chimp. Chimps are fucking... That's cool. That,
gorilla.
That
like, gorilla.
Gorilla
for
would
sure.
kill a man. A chimp. a chimp be kind is of a still. Fair fight, those things are like.
Like, what do you think if it was like a gorilla versus like The Rock?
The Rock would be die. Gorillas are insane, man. Have you?
Is there a man? Is there a man that's? That
I
could
don't
take
know.
A
I don't know.
If there's
a man I don't think The Rock take could take a chimp.
No,
dude. Chimps are they're so strong and like wily, and
come at you like
the
a spider
Rock
monkey.
Is yeah. a. He's Dude. A massive person.
Well, the crazy thing is, too, though, is they, because it's just instinct, they go for, like, the fingers, your eyeballs, and your genitals first is what chimps
yeah, they'll
do.
Rip your shit off yeah. and just, like, jam your eyes out.
They, no. Yeah, it's all nature of, like, I know how to disable you so I can kill. Like, I'm not going to.
Like, this isn't a sport.
Yeah, like, no. He's not going to duck and weave, like, bob and weave on this shit, fucking rope-a-dope or something.
Fucking
there's,
eyeballs
no,
out.
There's no chimp, like fucking setting oh, up a shit. Jab. And then, no. like that. He's just going straight for your fucking eyeballs,
oh
ripping
God.
That shit out, eating them.
So
then,
you're immediately defending.
Yeah.
You're grabbing fucking hands and fucking, oh, shit.
Yeah,
like,
you just.
Okay.
You'd have to wear, oh. if you could wear. A cup,
mm-hmm.
like a cod piece with an American flag on it, because you're patriot,
of course.
and like a helmet, like a Depeche Mode helmet, or what is that? Devo? What's
I,
the band?
I was thinking Daft Punk.
Daft Punk. That's it. Depeche Mode. That's a way different.
Depeche Mode.
Okay, I didn't know what that was. Punk.
You're wearing a Devo
yeah.
hat.
yeah. Just the Daft Punk helmet,
yeah.
like a Captain America cod piece. And some gloves so your fingers weren't exposed. Maybe.
He's maybe. Still sticking his finger
just
in your
because,
ass, though.
Just for the simple fact that your fingers would come off, blood would squirt, you would be...
Yeah.
Like, you're literally...
Just fucking... Or like, I mean, they can rip your
how
fingers
big,
off
how
you.
How big is it? We're talking about a chimpanzee?
A chimp?
A chimp. A chimp is probably like... Yeah,
it's
I don't
like
know,
a very
feet,
small person.
Three,
but
yeah,
very strong? Stronger than the Rock?
Dude, they're strong. I've held like baby chimps and like when if they start like messing with you and hitting you like even a baby chimp,
yeah, chimps are between 88 and 130 pounds depending on
that's a person man that's there's dudes that fight
wait how much they weigh
between 88 and 130 pounds
yeah 130 pound chimp
dude like Mighty Mouse. Like the fighter in the MMA, he's like 130 pounds, dude. Jesus. You put now if he has three times, and they're just that you've seen, they're like they're jacked, dude. They're all muscle. All they do is like fucking P90X and eat. Just
yeah.
Wait, drop. are we talking about chimpanzees?
Yeah.
Dude, those things are
chimpanzees
just
have
do
been
P90X?
Shown to, yeah, of course, bro.
Yeah, man, they do.
Chimpanzees have been shown to be about four times as strong as humans, comparable in size.
Oh, four times as strong.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the Rock is not human.
The difference in strength lies in the muscle performance. It says they're running on peak efficiency, man.
Yeah,
got that monkey strength,
dude. It's just all the time.
So, how do you learn that?
I think we
so, like,
we
fuck,
evolved out. We opted out of
yeah,
that.
Bro.
We
fuck,
had that. We opted out, man.
Fuck jiu-jitsu. Like, why are you guys teaching this? Just rip someone's fucking dick off and rip their eyes out and pull their fucking
Maga.
Fingers
what,
off.
What style do you fight? Mowgli.
Mowgli.
Yeah. Like, what exercises do I need to do?
Shit.
Fuck a bicep curl.
Yeah,
like, what are these
man.
Guys, these apes, like, whatever they're doing?
Swinging from branches and shit.
That's what we got to do.
Fight other apes.
You want to... So American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, yeah, man. Those guys are, yeah, that's probably the closest.
Maybe that's it, bro. And new techniques.
Yeah.
Go for the eyes, go for the nose, go for
the... Krav Maga. That's Krav Maga right there.
Is that what that is?
Krav Maga is like for the efficiency. It's a you know Krav Maga? It's an Israeli. Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about it.
It's an Israeli, it's what they teach the Israeli special forces. So, and everyone who's in Israel has to be in the military for, I think they have to do like 2 or 3 years of service in the military.
Everybody.
Mandatory. Women too. They have like a whole special unit of these female Israeli tactical unit that are just murderers, dude.
Really?
Straight up crazy. Yeah, I forget what it's called. But they teach them Krav Maga, which is all about the most damage, the most efficient, like throat gouges, eye gouges, like fucking kick to the genitals, like fucking elbows to the trachea.
Like just disabling them.
Yeah, yeah, just quickly and efficiently. None of this.
But is this not...
I mean, it's just probably a different form of what we already do. I mean, is that not what everybody's trying to do?
Well, they specifically instinctually teach you to go for the quickest and most efficient way of taking someone out instead of like how to throw hands or kickbox or put someone in a rear naked choke. It's like, no, you don't have to choke someone when you fucking gouge their trachea out with two fingers, you know, like they're down, they're done after that.
Wow, man. And the thing is too, there's a lot of circumstances where, you know, if you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's
they could get you right in the eyeball.
Yeah, ninja.
And what are you going to do? Bro. Because now you're trying to fight somebody. You're going through trauma of an eye.
Right.
You've never had an eye scooped out in your life. And now you're trying to deal with it.
Ninja. It's like Israeli ninjas.
Ninjutsu. Students are taught to counter in the quickest and most efficient way possible. Ideas in Krav Maga include simultaneous attack and defense, continuing to strike the opponent until they're completely incapacitated, attacking preemptively or counterattacking as soon as possible, and using any objects at hand that could be used to hit an opponent.
Oh, so like, it's not a fair fight.
No,
they just go for it. Dude.
It's expeditious.
Krav Maga. I thought that was the one you did in your living room.
No, you're talking CrossFit.
They do say that most
like
of
Thai
the Krav
Maga.
Yeah, right. They say most of the Krav Maga that's taught is watered down because it's not as hardcore as the Israeli military.
Yeah, the Israeli military is. Man, those motherfuckers are intense.
That's scary, dude. You know, I mean, if you're. I don't know. I think you need more people that know badass stuff, though. You know, that way people aren't so comfortable trying to like attack somebody in a alley or something like that. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, yeah, she's small and she looks like you could maybe sneak up on her, but she'll rip your fucking dick off, poking the fucking eyes, dude.
Everyone's to take a jiu-jitsu class and an improv class, and then your life will be better.
Okay, those two things together, because you could be someone's ass, but you know, you could probably diffuse the situation with comedy
that's
first,
right, or make them laugh while you're doing it.
at the same time. I don't know, man. It's crazy because comedy's not just this thing that it used to be, where it was just knock-knock jokes and fucking, you know. I mean, I guess there's always been observational comedy and different things like that, but I think that it's really evolved, especially right now with the YouTube and, you know, we're...
Oh, guys.
You're doing everything yourself. Sketches and, I mean...
You have to... It's... You have to do everything. When you go, like, there's these big comedy festivals, like Seattle International Comedy Competition is one of the bigger ones every year, or San Francisco, is all these ones. When you go there, if you get in, and if you, you know, when you, once you get into this, doing the rounds, the agents, if there's like TV people or agents go to them, those are the good festivals. They ask you, they don't want it. They don't really care about your jokes as much, like, hey, how many Twitter followers do you have? Let me see your Twitter account. You know, they want to know people are following you. You have, they want a brand that they can, are that's already put together, that
they
can just
absorb,
they
and
can just kind of put out there. You gotta, so you already have to have some sort of platform and base, and then you have to be marketable and you have to have a story. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man, that is, I tell people all the time, it's part of the reason I started leaning more heavily into the agnostic atheists, Latino, that type of material in my comedy, because it's an angle. If you're just a dude, like, I feel bad for any straight, white, heterosexual, middle-aged family man in comedy. Those guys are fucked.
Got nothing
going
on. Dude,
nobody gives a shit about those guys right now. And it's unfortunate because a lot of those guys are really funny, but comedy is kind of going away from being a meritocracy, where it's like, whoever's funniest, dude, just whoever's funniest, put them on stage. It's like, well, we really want to have, you know, we need an Asian person or a female on stage.
It's like sometimes you get the weird, like the Jim Gaffigan. Like, I guess he's been famous for like a long time.
Yes, there's people who are grandfathered in, but
you're
new,
right, as
people
far as
coming
new people,
up,
yeah.
That demographic is fucked, and I feel so bad for them, because I know some of the funniest dudes who are, that's just who they are, and like, sorry, man. Like, you're gonna go nowhere. There's a million of you, you know. And it's the, I'm gonna get shit for saying this, but a lot of female comics get pushed up really quickly because there's not as many of them, and people want a female on the show, mm-hmm. and they get pushed up when they're not necessarily ready yet. Or they get pushed up faster than people like a counterpart, like a guy who may be funnier. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I produce a lot of shows. I'd like to put diversity on a show. I strive to, but also I want to put the best together.
You go
the best
comedy
show.
First.
If the best show I can put together is all I put together shows with all girls, cause it's the best show I can put together. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what you are. I just want the funniest, whatever
right.
is on that show that I can get on that show.
Mm-hmm. That's how it should be.
That's how it should be. I don't think like
that's equality.
Yeah, that's equality. When see, I don't want to think about your race, religion, sexuality, color, gender, positive. I don't want it to bring positive or negative energy to what it is. I want
it's just
strictly
a neutral,
on what you are. Like, it shouldn't be anything in it. If you put any
and people need to stop fucking. You know, I mean, you got to stop. You got to let people, you got to let it be that.
Yeah.
If in all facets of life,
right.
If we're going to get over racism and shit like that, like people got to just, and sexism and all that shit, like
yeah.
these old things that it's like, this is the way it was. It's like, we're in a different time and you're right. Like, I feel like we're moving in a direction where it's much more, you know, people having the equality
yeah.
and the equal opportunity to get in and I mean really make a YouTube video yourself doing comedy, doing
right.
little skits, making fun of things, going to your local comedy club, like you know, everything. There's going to be little changes, little
yeah. I think it's coming around. We kind of had a big swing towards this super like, I think it's swinging back for we overcorrected really hard yeah. and everyone was, there's still the social justice warriors and people getting offended over stupid shit and people wanting to find a reason to be mad about things. And but I think it's swinging back a little bit, you know, obviously the other way was, you know, the way it was, you know, I'm not trying to get back to like the 50s or some shit, but there's a middle ground where people, you know, there's not as much energy around it, you know. I mean, I like I said, I don't want to think about what someone is, that be a factor on, because I mean the like it was trendy for a long time for like people to shit on like being like a white male, and like, dude, like that's not even how I identify, but I felt bad for those people. I'm like, dude, like that's a terrible, like why is that, like Yeah. There were some really shitty white males in America for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, that doesn't mean the ones that currently exist here and live in the now should be paying for what people did before. I'm like I'm Mexican. Like, mm-hmm. should I hate Spanish people? Like, my grandmother's roots are Mayan. Like, should I hate Spanish people because they raped my grandma's culture and destroyed? Like, I don't. What am I supposed to do? Like, they didn't, no one's doing anything to me. Like, I can't, I don't know.
And you live in this world right now where you know that this person is just a person, man.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're also 37 and they've gone through similar shit that I've gone through.
Yeah.
And it, you know what I mean? And it doesn't fucking matter, man. It's on your character and
right.
who you are and shit. And we just got to get, you know, I just think that having social media and things like that is cool. Is people can give a voice out there
yeah.
and say, hey, this is bullshit, don't do that. And
but
know.
God forbid they pull a tweet from when you were 27.
Oh god, yeah, no shit. Well
yeah.
that's, dude,
you gotta delete your fucking tweets. What are you doing?
See,
dude, you
I
can delete
my,
your tweets.
That's my thing. I put out, so
if you go back to 2000, Twitter was started in 2012.
Yeah, you could still say retard back then.
Yeah,
you can't say that now. Yeah.
I get memories from Facebook in 2012 and I'm like,
oh yeah, like damn.
But it's different
saying,
because like on TV,
I was wild in 2012.
I swear you can say shit on TV now. Is that wrong?
You can.
You always could have. It's just cable networks chose not to. You can't do it on network, but cable can get away with whatever
yeah.
they want to. They just choose not to because they want advertisers.
Yeah, yeah.
But they say shit now.
Yeah,
right?
They say shit now.
Well, remember that South Park episode where they did the counter?
They counted all the shits.
Yeah, they counted how many times they said it in one episode. It was that was, I mean, probably 12, 13 years ago now.
Really?
I bet it was that long ago. And that was
changed.
Like groundbreaking at the time.
Fuck is the new one they're getting away with more now. Like if you're watching TV after 10 o'clock, a lot of times you'll get fucked.
Yeah. On like a 2-4-6?
No, never on a 2-4-6.
Okay,
yeah,
just on
like
a
your Comedy Central,
yeah,
Central.
Yeah,
stuff,
sci-fi
like
and stuff.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. So that's good because yeah, that wasn't a thing. I felt like they were getting by with like bull crap and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Or editing
watered
it out.
Down.
TV.
Oh, editing it out. Yeah, there's a lot of edits.
It's weird how we do our shit over here. TV, like in the UK, after 9 p.m., they can do whatever they want because the kids are in bed. It's just as
right.
soon as 9 p.m. hits, like all the late night shows can swear, do whatever the fuck they want. Over here, we'll show, you know, murders and bloody
yeah.
bodies and all kinds of crazy shit, but won't say the
but
F
you
word.
Can't
and
say
don't
words.
Show, don't show a titty,
dude. Yeah, you gotta, you can show
wow.
like some dude getting his brains blown out or some like weird horrific scene like that on like CSI, but then you go over to Survivor and some supermodel is climbing a cargo rope and like an inch of her butt crack is
right.
hanging out of her bikini. They got to tile it out. You're like, what fucking world are we living in, man?
It's crazy. I read a thing about that show Hannibal.
Yeah,
he had a bunch of bodies hanging on hooks and you could see their
right.
butts.
Yeah, okay.
He had like naked bodies hanging on hooks in the shot. And they were like, no, you can't show three naked butts hanging there on TV. So they
but you could show two.
They filled the ass cracks with blood.
Jesus Christ.
And NBC was like, yeah, great.
Right, that's
great.
Fine.
You covered up the butt cracks with blood.
Wow.
It's some weird.
That's just. Yeah.
The crazy thing to me is that like these are self-imposed rules. It's not like some weird alien overlord came down
no.
and dictated that this is
fuck
this
is a
weird
bad word.
Line of
don't
rules that we all like. All right, well, that's what Zoltan said. So that's just what we do.
Bitch.
Like we decide. Like we decide.
Yeah.
And it's there's no. Well, it's like we were talking about earlier with the Super Bowl. Everyone gets pissed. You're like, oh, this is the Shakira and J-Lo just rocking it up there. And everyone's like, this isn't family friendly. It's like, okay, first of all, take some responsibility. Turn the fucking channel if you don't want your kids to see it. Second of all, if you think TV or the NFL should like be a line on or like be the line on what is decent in America or like teach your kids decency, you're a fucking bad parent already, man. Get your shit together. Make a decision in your life. Like decide to not like how you teach your kids decency.
Well, but then I wouldn't get to watch it.
Yeah, right?
It's like what other world do we live in that we understand that there's these things that are bad in life that you're shielding yourself from or your
right.
family from anyway. And
yeah.
It's just crazy to think that somebody else needs to do that for you.
Yeah, if you don't like it, take some responsibility and just don't watch it. Don't look at it, don't see that show or don't whatever. And you know, if it starts it's J-Lo and Shakira.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're going to do? That's what they do. They're
right.
hot.
Yeah.
And they sing songs about being hot.
I don't get it either cuz you're like are you afraid that your son is going to just be heterosexual?
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to, like, want to grow up and want a girl like that? Like,
great,
what is...
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What? Yeah, what there's... I mean...
Where are we at? Like, is he going to... Like, are you afraid that he's going to, you know, maybe come in his pants or something? Like,
you know,
you're going
to have to actually have a conversation with your kid. And that's terrifying to be like, oh, gross. Talk to my kids.
So that's it. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the communication. I
yeah.
get that being a parent is probably tough. And when your kids get into a weird age,
yeah.
having to... have conversations can probably be like, oh, it's way easier to just not have it.
Sure.
But fuck, you gotta have those conversations because the more real you are with your kids and your kids understand you and respect you, I feel like you're going to be able to actually teach your kid things
yeah.
rather than them being like, yeah, whatever.
Well, if you just hide it and don't talk about it and let them explore and then they're going to find it, they're going to get into trouble about it, and then you get mad at them instead of like just talking about it and being open. Like
yeah.
the, like I remember growing up, well, you know, my parents were never around, didn't do anything. They didn't do shit. So like my buddy's mom was like my mom growing up. It's like she was a single mom, had a couple kids, rough life. And she was like, open with us. She would talk to us and we could talk about anything. And you know, she and I felt like super, if I had issues or something mm-hmm. related to sex or drugs or drinking or anything like that, like we could talk to her and she trusted us enough and we trusted her enough and she knew we were going to fuck up, but you know, she also didn't rather be there to talk about and figure it out than like hide it and it be more of a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's not like she didn't like buy us fucking drugs, but she knew it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like,
and you, I learned from those people as a kid because
yeah,
I had those
yeah.
people in my life who were like, hey, listen, this is what it is. Be safe tonight. Do this,
yeah.
do that. And You know, that stuff stuck with me more than just like somebody that's, people were like, I come from a family where like it was like locked down, like they'd lock it all down, no friends, and try to, and you just like, I'm fucking out of here, and you dip, and it's just,
well, like it was like, you're the, if you're gonna drink, call me. You know, if you need, if you get drunk, call me. If you know, things like that, instead of, or like I, the, there's that like cool dad or cool mom was like the, well, you guys, I'd rather have you drink here than go out and drink. And like, that was a, that was like a weird stigma. You know, when I was growing up, that parent was a shitty parent. But now I look back, I'm like, I think that was the way more responsible parent.
Way more
like,
responsible
they like,
parent.
Like they were like, hey, at least you're here. If
I
something
know you're safe,
yeah, I know you're
good.
Safe.
Well, and I think the, I think the thing is that it's not like they're like, hey, kids, have you ever tried alcohol?
Yeah.
We're going to do it here tonight. Yeah, it's going to be safe.
Not enabling. Just
Yeah, you're just like, you guys are, I know what you're doing already.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go drink in fucking David's car in front of the fucking elementary school.
Right.
We would do so much drinking and shit at elementary schools.
Of course.
Like after dark.
Yeah.
It just was like the safest place.
For some reason, it just felt comfortable.
Or, of course.
There was a bath. Yeah, it was like
40-ounce on a swing set. It's
yeah,
just,
man.
You know, it's the dream,
bro. It was just, we never
but
got
it, it goes back to that, you know, not giving an inch and them taking a mile and stuff like that. You know, it's like if you hide all that shit and keep it on lockdown, it's like you're talking about the DARE program.
Yeah.
So much of that is just lies anyways. When I find out the DARE program's lying to me about weed and weed's not that big of a deal, I'm inclined to think all the other shit you told me was a big deal is not a big deal either.
Yeah.
So you have that, and then you have, you know, parental figures or people in your life lying to you, keeping shit from you, and that sort of thing. And you know, you find out, oh, it's not that bad, and you kind of go a little extra. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, it's like I always look at countries that are smarter than us, like European countries and stuff, most countries. But, you know, like Sweden and like Norway and these countries that don't stigmatize these things. Like they don't stigmatize drugs and alcohol. And, you know, kids at a young age will, like, drink wine at dinner.
Yeah.
You know, just and crazy. Countries like Norway don't have a huge drug or alcohol problem.
No.
They don't stigmatize food, and the way their eating habits are different. So, like, weird, like, there's not a big obesity issue.
Yeah, portion sizes are much smaller. I know that.
So they just regulate, they normalize it. Anytime you put, like, energy around anything, kids want to push back and have more of it. You know, that's just natural. So if you kind of just have it, hey, this is just normal, it's around, you know, it's not taboo. And they're like, all right, well, I guess it's just a part of life. And, you know, some kids will do it a little more than others, but for the most part, it just becomes a normal thing. You know, it's like, it's so, but America is fucking idiots and we can't get our shit together with that.
It's so tough. It's we're stuck in these just like archaic frameworks that, I don't know, man. It goes, everyone else uses the metric system. We couldn't figure our shit out. You know, stuff like that. Like, just dumb shit that we're holding on to.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That's,
you know,
what we did. We're America. We're the good.
Yeah.
Well,
but you involve religion. And of course, kids can go up and drink wine at communion.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Just a sip on Easter, Billy.
Right.
You know,
the priest fuck them afterwards.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Go Catholics.
Yeah.
Hey, I grew up Catholic.
I just came into some fucking right now.
Yeah.
No, I just came into
not the good kind.
Yeah, not the good kind.
Oh, wow.
But
a couple of Hail Marys.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production
and part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
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 Studios.